You got your Bibles, open up to Galatians chapter 6. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord, and we thank you for the message that they're about to receive, and help me to deliver this as accurate and boldly as I can, Lord. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Condemnation is not the way to bring someone back. We already know what Romans talks about. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. It's God's goodness. Not condemning them, not manipulating them. It's God's goodness. They will love you all the more for it when you do that. So if you're not a spiritually mature person, stay away from trying to get someone to repent for what they have done. Because you're just going to mess it up. If you're not there, I said, don't try to mess with it. It's just going to mess up. You're just going to mess it up. It has to be done through God's unconditional love rather than manipulation. Manipulation is will only make things worse and helps to put people into more bondage. It's the truth of God's word that would make them free. It says, you know, John 8, 31, 32 says, if you are my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It makes you free. Even those who are spiritually mature can be tempted. It doesn't mean you will fall into that. It does mean you can be tempted. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Verse 2 says, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Now, what is the law of Christ? It's the love. It's to love one another. The law of Christ is to love. The law of Christ is the love of law of love. Love one another just as Jesus has loved you. When you truly love other people, you should want to help them out. Okay? Verse 3 says, if you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Boy, that's humbling right there. You're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Again, no one is too important to help another believer to be restored. And I get it. Sometimes we just don't want to be bothered by anything because we have our own problems, right? That's the thing. But when we choose to help out other people, there tends to be a lot of baggage that comes with it. And that baggage can sometimes be burdensome. I know it. I ended up helping out an individual one day, and I was helping him to grab his stuff and because he had it placed all over the place. It took all day. Filled up my truck, the bed of my truck. That's how much stuff he had. It was tough. But I was able to help him out, trying to be the good Samaritan that I am. But it wore me down. But the reality of it is that when you do help, you knew you did it out of good heart. God blesses that. But this is what is required of those who are godly and spiritually mature. This is their duty as a servant of God. This is our duty as servants of God, is to help other people. It can't just be about ourselves. That's our duty. God is not, remember, in 2 Peter 3, 9, it says, for God is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's what God wants. He wants for all of us to come to repentance. Thanks for turning on that air. Y'all see, I'm sweating like a stuck pig. But in order to bring it to pass, he needs his servants maturing in his word, fellowshipping with the Father so that we know how to fellowship with one another. Listen, if this connection is bad, is broken, then this connection isn't going to be good. We're not going to be able to connect with one another if we don't know how to fellowship with the Father. And we do that through his word. We do that through prayer. We do that just talking with him. We cannot truly freely give who we are, that love of God, if this is broken, because we know that God is not a God that will try to control. But when we try to do that, then this is broken somewhere. So we got to get right back in fellowship with him. We We got to get the main thing right first. Then let's go to our brother and help. And if you find yourself, listen, nobody's perfect in that. If we find ourselves, just spend some time with them. Who cares if people are saying, well, they're just isolating? No, they're just fixing it. They're allowing God to fix that in that season. Be cool. Because it's almost like, you know, when you're dealing with certain people, and I'm not talking about anyone specific, but I know growing up in our neighborhood, we would have one kid that nobody wanted to play with. One kid that, you know, all they ever wanted to do was get you in trouble. So we go and meet, you would go and meet somewhere else, and you'd be at the Orchard Park or whatever. I mean, just hanging out, and, you know, yeah, don't tell so-and-so's, you know, we're going. Then they're going to everybody else's house, because that's what we did growing up. We knocked on the door, we didn't call, we just, little Johnny here? Nope. Johnny's not here. He went to go play with some other friends. Then they go to another person's house. Nope, they're not here. They went outside to play. Then sooner or later, he got to the point to where he's thinking, I know what I'm going to do. Since everybody doesn't want to play with me, I'm going to get their moms to have them play with me. Well, so-and-so doesn't want to play with me. Nobody wants to be my friend. Can you tell your son? Can you tell Johnny to come meet me here tomorrow and we can play to each other? And then when Johnny gets home from playing with everybody, well, you got to go and play with him. Johnny, you're not going to hang out with your friends anymore. You're going to have to go play with little Tommy over here. I said, and so you're forced to do that. I said, but the thing is that when we do that spiritually, even as adults, we got to understand that there's a disconnect between us and the Father. Because if there's truly a connection here, people are going to want to be around us. Because that's the aroma that we're giving out. That's just how we are. We're blessed to be a blessing. So we got to get the main thing right. It says verse 4, pay careful attention to whose work? Your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Pay attention to your own work. Pay attention to your own family. Pay attention to what your position requires of you. Pay attention to what the Lord is leading you to do, rather than you trying to get someone else to do it for you after the Lord has already told you no. Are you that person? The Lord told me no. Well, I'm going to go and, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you did this and this and this? Pay attention to that. See, the thing is, you're not better than anyone else. The church is not better than our church is not better than any other church. But we will be focused on our own work because we are doing what God has called us to do. You know, when you are focused on your own work, then that leaves little time to compare with another person. When you're focused on your own. Growing up, I played my freshman year of college ball, got burnt out right afterwards. And then, so that was 93, 94. 94 season, I didn't even go to school. I stopped playing right after hoop season in February. Stopped playing, just worked in the factory. Then around November, didn't pick up a ball, just worked. Around November, started playing again, started getting back. No one had to do that for me. No one had to encourage me. No one had to get under my skin. No one had to do all that stuff. It was like, okay, I don't really want to work this job all my life. That was all the motivation I needed. I don't want to work for $4.25 an hour. I'm going to have to go back to school. So I started spending 3-4 hours every single day working right before work and then go to work and then work 8-10 hours. Every single day. I was focused on my own work. I wasn't focused on the next guy. I wasn't focused on this person here. I was focused, lasered in on what I believe the Lord was leading. And if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be here. Because that led me to coming here. So in the spring of 95, had one of the best springs ever. Never lost an open gym game in the summer. Killed in the summer. Was tearing people up. The grad assistant here was looking at me. His dad was looking at me. He was coaching San Diego State and called here. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't putting that in that time. See, I was focused, laser focused on what I believe the Lord was leading me to do at that time, even though I didn't know it was the Lord leading me. But focus on our own work because we are doing what God has called you to do. It makes little time for small talk. Maturity is knowing that small talk doesn't interest you anymore. I'm the king of small talk because I don't talk. I'll say a few words, and then I've mastered the... They're still there, and I'm always walking away. Yeah, walking and talking, and next thing you know, I'm around the corner. I'm the king of that. But the thing is that when you're wanting deep conversations because you know the Lord is taking you deeper into his word, you want to be around those people that are deeper into his word because your relationship with him is getting deeper. When you're focused on your work for the Lord, it puts everything in perspective on why you're here. It's to know him and Jesus' eternal life, and also to do the works of the one who sent you. Paying attention to your own work is self-awareness. I mean, you know what you're doing. You no longer have to play that game. I didn't know that I was that way. I didn't know, Pastor Tim, I didn't know I was racist. Wait a minute, you mean to tell me you didn't know that you were putting on a sheet? No, I'm just playing. Going into the woods and praying to some false god? You didn't know that? No, I'm just playing. Now, if you are, God bless you. We still love you. Somebody once said, I think it was Bill Winston, he said, I don't care if you're racist. I don't care what you call me. Just don't call me late for dinner. So, you still got to love. Doesn't matter. I said, why? Because we grew up. We may have been on something that was wrong. It happens. But it's the truth of God's word that's going to help make you free. And if you constantly just stay away from people who don't know the word of God, who may operate that way, they may never ever see who Jesus really is through you. You no longer have to play dumb. I heard someone say that smart people know when to play dumb. But the Bible says, therefore, be imitators of God. Jesus never played dumb. That's why they hated him. He wasn't, I mean, even though he knew it all, he wasn't acting like he was a know-it-all. God never tried to play dumb. Pharisees did. Who's trying to kill you? They played dumb. For we are responsible, verse 5, it says, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. We help carry each other's burdens, but we are responsible for carrying our own load. It isn't someone else's responsibility to take care of your kids and things of that nature. That's our responsibility. As men, we're supposed to take care of our own families, but we help carry each other's burdens, but you're going to have to carry your own load. You are responsible for showing your kids how to pray, fathers. You are responsible for providing for your family. You are responsible for giving when you have the opportunity to give. You're responsible. So when the collection plate comes by and, well, I'm not going to give, your teenager is seeing that. Well, he's not really a giving person, is he? If he doesn't give, why should I give? It's so if that means taking another job for the time being to help ends meet, then you do it. But at the same time, you are fully trusting in the Lord to make a way so that you wouldn't have to work long hours. So that keeps you away from your family. You're still going to have to be that family man. Because we know what the word says, right? If you don't at work, you don't eat. So you got to work. But it's important to labor in the word. Verse 6 says this, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. This is talking about money. It's talking about giving to those who teach you and how you learn the word. So that means you're supposed to give into me, give into the kingdom. But it says, provide for the teachers, sharing all good things with them. This is so good for those that understand giving. It humbles them. I don't have a problem giving. I used to, but I don't anymore. I didn't like sowing because I wanted it all for myself. But once I started doing that, the Lord started working on my heart some more. I first started by listening to the word. And you have to value the word of God over everyone else's opinion. I guarantee you, on social media, you can find anyone that's telling you not to give. There's enough people out there saying it. And there's enough people that twist the words or what have you, twist the scripture. But you'll find enough. But one of the purest ways to keep yourself from being self-centered is giving. Whatever it is giving your time, giving your energy, giving your money, giving your love, giving whatever is required of you. The best way to not be self-centered is to give what you have. Well, I didn't like what the preacher preached on today. Does that mean I have to give? You choose to, you get to. I mean, how many of us have sat down in a restaurant and you know you had the same thing, but they changed up the recipe or something and it tastes different? We used to go to Carlos O'Kelly's all the time. And one of my favorite meals was the enchiladas de poblano. And then they changed up the sauce and I was like, this is nasty. Literally, I mean, changed it up. You know what? At the end of the meal, I still had to pay. I'm not going to tell you what I tipped. No, <it's funny. laughs> no, we still tip good. You want to be a blessing, right? So now we see why some don't go to the house of worship, because they don't want to be able to give. Because if they have to provide for their teachers, they don't want to have to. Okay. They don't want to give to those who are instructing them. And I understand some people may have abused that. I get that. Honestly, I said this personally, I want to get to the place where I'm not getting anything. That's how much I want God to bless me in different avenues. This shouldn't be the only source. So when it gets to that place, God, I said, we're going to be flowing. Don't have to take an income from the church. That's a good thing. Then there are those where you may hear rumors about, but you just don't know if you fully should give. What do you do? You do what the Word of God instructs you to do. You do what your heart instructs you to do. Those who have purpose in their heart, you give based upon that. Okay? Don't allow pressure to get to you. I'm not going to give because I've been pressured by somebody. Somebody's pressuring you. I said, there's been people who may have pressured me, but you know what? I still gave what I purposed in my heart. I never allowed that to stop me from giving, and I'll never allow somebody else to tell me what I should and shouldn't give. And the thing is, we have to stop looking for loopholes in the Word. We have to stop looking for reasons not to give and find as many reasons in Scriptures to give. In verse 7, it says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will harvest what you plant. You will always harvest what you plant. Always means always. At any rate, in any event, it may look like people who done you wrong didn't harvest what they planted, but everyone reaps what they sow. No one is exempt from that law. Just like the law of gravity. If I jump up, and it might be an inch, I'm going to come down. It's a universal law that everyone lives by. We all live by the law of sowing and reaping. So one day at a time, zone in on what you are truly wanting to harvest in your life. Just one day at a time. What are you needing in your life? What do you want to harvest? Now, we don't sow just to get. We sow to be a blessing. If you sow a chaos into somebody else's life, that's exactly what you're going to get. Chaos, but a whole nother level, because the harvest will always be greater than the seed. Okay? Focus on the Spirit. It will be more beneficial, not only for you, but for your children and your children's children. So if you're taking every single day and you're purposely, intentionally focusing on the seed that you want to sow because it's something that you want to harvest in your life, it's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way you begin to put into you and allowing it to transform your life. It's going to be a whole different ballgame there. Verse 8. It says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Believers are the only ones who know how to sow to the Spirit. The world doesn't. They sow to the flesh. We're the only ones that know how to sow to the Spirit. Because we aren't doing it for works to obtain salvation, but we are doing it because of the transformation that has taken place on the inside of us. So renewing the mind comes into play when we are talking about our actions. It starts there and then allowing the Word of God to begin to transform us. We have to bring people back to the Word. Bring them back. Bring them back to the Word. Back to the Father's goodness and grace. Those that just want to keep stirring up drama because they're not getting what they want need to get back to the Word. They need to get back to fellowship. So how are you treating others? And I like this saying, if you don't want people saying negative things about you, you probably should stop doing negative things to them. I don't know anybody who's, if you've done negative things, if they've done positive things to them, nobody's saying something negative. If you don't want people saying negative things, you're worried about what they're saying, you probably should check up on what you're doing to them. Are you revengeful and why? Do you believe that you're unjustified in what you are doing? Do you cause other people to stumble in their walk with God? Is your table talk filled with great minds, good minds, or small minds? I've heard that saying before. I think I've heard said it. But, we can all benefit from this. Small minds talk about other people. Good minds talk about events. Great minds discuss ideas. Superior minds talk about the Bills beating the Chiefs and getting to the Super Bowl. No. The superior minds are about the kingdom. That's where we all want to get. We all may not be there, but here's the thing. This is why you pay attention to your own work. Where's my table at? Are we the small-minded table? Are we the good-minded table? Or are we the great-minded table? Are we the superior? And when you get to the place to where you're the superior table, not because you're better than others, but because your focus is on the kingdom and impacting the people that God has placed around you, you're going to be doing some things, some great things. Never allow anyone to make you feel guilty because you choose to walk away from a table that you have outgrown. It doesn't make you better than anyone else. It just means that you're just kingdom focused. Some of you, when you came into the kingdom, there's certain people that you just couldn't hang around with anymore because all they ever did was dumb, was getting in trouble. You know, you can't hang with them. So you have to be around like-minded people, people who want to encourage, people who want to build up, people who will hold you accountable, people who will speak the truth of God's word. In verse 9, it says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Taking the high road isn't always easy. That's a tough road to take, the high road. When you want to say something that is just snappy and just so good. Oh, man, I just thought about this. This years ago, I just thought about it. You know, you don't want to be like George on there. You have to come back to another meeting and set up a meeting just to give a guy. No, we don't want to go there. It says we have to take the high road. I even forgot what he said. I'm trying to. Yes. Well, the jerks are opened up and they're running out of you. No, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Some people love living in a gray area. They're kind of in between. Even if you're living in between, here's the thing. Just make one thing for sure. Don't blame God when you reap the harvest of what you've been sowing. Never blame God. If you want to live in that gray area, you like to be dangerous, you like to be out there on the edge, you just want to slide into heaven, you know, just barely skin and teeth or what have you. And okay, but don't blame God when you reap the harvest. Okay? There's destruction in that. Just like farmers that plant the seed into the soil, we plant the seed of the word of God into our hearts. There is not going to be a harvest the next day, and we know that. There's first the blade. Well, I sowed today. I gave to the church, and I didn't reap a harvest. So I said, well, in due season, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And sometimes that is tough. That is hard to take the high road. But in due season, we will reap a harvest. So don't grow weary of giving in any area of your life. Your season is coming. And for some, your season is already here. Don't grow weary. In verse 10, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. I'm just wrapping up. A few things to leave you with here. Pay attention to your work. Self-awareness will help you to see where you miss it. It'll help you to see where you're missing it, where you're growing, all that stuff. Pay attention to it. But it isn't just self-awareness, it's the Holy Spirit that will let you know. Continue to be transformed by the renewing of your mind and reading the Word of God. Every single day, just like you feed yourself, you got to feed your faith. You got to feed your spirit by reading the Word. However long it takes until you get full. Some people put a time limit until you get full. Overflowing to the point to where it comes out. When that thing that used to get on your nerves, your last good nerves, you're responding with the Word of God. Stay strong in the Lord. If you have to get away and just spend some quality time with Jesus, do it. Go up into the mountains and rent a cabin for a week or a weekend or something. Spend some time with them. It will enhance your love for the Father, and it also will enhance your love for the family of faith. If this is broken, then this is going to be broken. This is going to be distorted. It's not always easy to do the right thing for the kingdom of God, and there will be seasons in your life where you're going to have to sow when it hurts. And that's the title of the message today. Sow when it hurts. S-O-W. Sow when it hurts. You may be down to your last $2. That widow was down to her last two mites. Less than a penny. But she had to sow when it hurt to give. You may be down to your last $2. But will you sow? Or will you try to stretch that thing? The Bible says that God multiplies the seeds that you sow. The widow, when she was down to her last piece of bread for her and her son, and the prophet was telling her, give it to me. You're going to have to sow when it hurts. Give it to me. And in doing so, it turned her situation 180 degrees. Because she sowed when it hurt. Abraham, when he had to give up Isaac, when the Lord was telling him, bring him up here, sacrifice him to me. Abraham didn't really want to do it, but you know what? He did it up until the point the Lord said, don't touch him. Don't touch him. But Abraham was willing to go all the way. Because God already had promised him that his descendants will be outnumbered, will be numbered just like the stars and the sand and the seashore. But he had to sow. He was willing to sow when it hurt. And sometimes in our seasons, in our lives, that we're going to have to sow when it hurts. I don't want to walk in love with this individual, but we're going to have to sow. Oh, no man anything but to love them. That's hard to do. And I'm telling you personally, that's hard to do, but you have to sow when it hurts to sow because it's going to be beneficial for you at the end. God is still working with me on that. So when you feel like giving up, don't give up. Sow when it hurts. Sow when it hurts because it will always be the best thing for you. So when it hurts, when you don't feel like working out, get up and work out. Sow to your body. You're going to reap something. Whether if it's a push-up a day. That's where I'm at. And I got pads underneath me. That's fine. So my push-up is like, that's fine. It's just a quick one. That's fine. But sow when it hurts. Sow when it hurts. Sow to your marriage. While we're watching our budget, take your wife out. Let her get some cheese on that hamburger. That's okay. Sow when it hurts. Your kids may be acting up, not listening to you. Now you can go off on them. Or you could sow the love of God into them and the Word of God. If they need a whooping, give it to them. But sow when it hurts. This is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. I know it's the other way around, but you know. You got to sow when it hurts. in every area of our life, because what it requires us is just to trust God all the time. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. And Father, your word is just so awesome and so true, and all the fine examples that we have. In John 3:16, he says, you sowed love the world, that you sowed love. You gave. And help us to follow that example in our everyday lives, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.